Well, then, turn with me again, if you will, to Mark chapter 15. Our subject today, the transfer of guilt. You see, before God saves a sinner, he makes that sinner know what it means to be guilty before the Lord. Now, this is very clearly brought out in our lesson today. Mark chapter 15, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. Our subject today, the transfer of guilt. No sinner ever gets saved without knowing what it means to stand before God as a guilty, lost, hell-deserving, helpless sinner. Now, I say that emphatically, and I say it positively, because the Word of God bears it out absolutely from Genesis to Revelation. The sad commentary of today is that we have a conversion without repentance, repentance without a change of heart, and we find a repentance without Holy Spirit conviction, and we see that we have a salvation without knowing Christ or anything else. People today don't know what it means to be a lost sinner before the Lord God of heaven. And my radio friend, whoever you are, whatever category you may be in, if you've never stood before God as a lost sinner, rest assured of one thing. Put it down. You have never been truly converted. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, when God sets out to save a sinner, he sets forth before that individual the necessity of the work of Christ to be done in their behalf. God doesn't save a sinner in ignorance. He teaches that sinner under Holy Spirit conviction, and that individual learns three things. Number one, he learns who God is. Number two, he learns who he is. And number three, he learns absolutely that salvation is all of God, and it's all of grace, and if he's ever to be saved, the Lord God of heaven has to do every bit of it. Now, in our lesson today, we're going to look at the transfer of guilt, and we're going to see, first of all, the necessity of imputation. Last time, as we talked with you, we set forth Barabbas portraying every sinner's condition. Every sinner without Christ is to be arrested and charged by the law. Every sinner without Christ is condemned and bound by the law. And every sinner without Christ is made helpless concerning personal deliverance. And every sinner without Christ is sentenced to death, but living under a reprieve. And every sinner without Christ has no desire for deliverance whatever put in his heart until God puts it there. Now, as we look at our lesson today, we're going to see not only what Barabbas portrays, but we're also going to see set forth in picture form the courtroom of heaven, which is arrayed against every sinner. People today don't understand the magnitude of sin. They don't understand the magnitude of God's grace. And we find very clearly they don't understand what it means to have the Lord God of heaven work in their hearts. Salvation today has been so minimized until the average individual doesn't know what it means to be born again. The average person has never come to repentance. The average individual has never seen him or herself as a guilty sinner, and they don't know how the courtroom of heaven is arrayed against that sinner. Now you look with me, if you will, in Mark chapter 15 and verses 13 through 14, where we see in picture form the justice of God crying out for the sinner's blood. Now you and I better recognize one thing, and we better recognize it absolutely, that Jehovah God, who is also the Lord Jesus Christ, is a thrice holy God. God cannot look upon sin. His justice cries out for vengeance against sin. His holiness burns against sin, and his wrath is arrayed from heaven against all sin and all ungodliness of individuals. Now, people today don't know that, but my radio friend, if God ever sets out to save you, he's going to make you realize and know and tremble as you'll find out what it means to be a sinner before him. Now, the courtroom of heaven is arrayed against every sinner. In Mark chapter 15 and verses 13 and 14, we read, "And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified." Here you have, in picture form, the courtroom of heaven scene, which is arrayed against every unsaved sinner. In this multitude that were crying out for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, you notice one thing. They were not satisfied until Christ was sentenced to die. So the justice of God today cries out for vengeance against the sinner. The justice of God will not be satisfied until that sinner is either in hell, suffering the torments of the damned for all eternity, or else that sinner has come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who on Calvary's cross satisfied the justice of God, which cried out for the sinner's death. My radio friend, you better recognize one thing. The justice of God is crying out for your death at this hour if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You may laugh and scoff and mock, and you may have a good time, so to speak, and you might believe the heresy that the Lord God of heaven is too good to send an individual to hell, but that's a heresy, and rest assured of one thing, it will only cause you to go to a devil's torment. Oh, my radio friend today, God's justice is crying out for your blood. This is why it's imperative for you to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing we see here in the courtroom of heaven is this. It's the holiness of God waxing hot against sin. Again, in Mark chapter 15 and verses 13 and 14, we read, "And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him." You see, there was no satisfying this multitude. They were not going to be pacified. They were not going to be turned aside. And we find out that they were crying out for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In like manner, the justice of God cries out for your blood. The holiness of God is waxing hot against your sin. I know people today don't understand this, but it doesn't change it one bit. Our God is a consuming fire, and the holiness of God waxes hot against sin. It's set forth all through the Old and the New Testament, and we find that it hasn't changed one bit. The only hope you have for God's justice and for God's holiness to be satisfied is when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your sin bearer, your substitute, your Savior, your surety, and your sovereign. And my hope is that you'll come to know him even at this hour. Now, the third thing about the courtroom of heaven is this. We find in this picture here also the mercy of God and the love of God pleading. Again, Mark chapter 15, and look with me at verse 9. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Here you have the mercy of God and the love of God pleading. Again, verse 14. Then Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." Now, we don't have a conflict here. No, sir. My friend, God's attributes had to be satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. The justice of God was satisfied, the holiness of God was satisfied, and the wrath of God was satisfied in the death of Christ. Yet we find the mercy of God and the grace of God and the love of God was also satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my radio friend today, the reason you're not in hell is because of God's mercy, God's love, and God's grace. It's God's mercy that he caused you to listen to this voice at this very moment, my radio friend, and you better understand it. It is God's mercy that you're not in hell at this very moment. It's God's love that is even now beginning to do that work in your soul, stirring you and making you uneasy if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And my radio friend, we find also it's God's grace that will put the cry in your heart, if it ever comes, for you to have a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace, and we see it set forth. Pilate asked this crowd. He said, "Why, what evil has he done?" This is God's mercy set forth. Pilate asked him again. He said, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" And this was God's love set forth. And then we find also, and Pilate said, "Will ye again that I release unto you? Or why should I? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And then notice, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. You see, God's justice had to be satisfied. God's holiness had to be satisfied. God's wrath had to be satisfied. And for God to be just and the justifier of the ungodly, it was necessary for the Lord Jesus to die. Oh, what a great truth this is. And what depth there is right here. Here we see also in the wisdom of God displayed. You see, the justice of God and the holiness of God was satisfied. Now, how was it satisfied? When the Lord Jesus, who was innocent, became guilty. When the Lord Jesus, who was sinless, became sin. And when the Lord Jesus, who was God's Son, became the sinner. And this is the way God satisfied his holiness and his justice, and he satisfied his mercy and his love. And how wonderful it is that this is still a reality. And my radio friend, the reason you and I aren't in hell at this hour is because in Christ we have a perfect satisfaction of the courtroom of heaven. Now, as we've talked about the transfer of guilt, we've seen the courtroom of heaven, which is arrayed against the sinner. Now, in these few moments that are left, I want to show you the manifestation of imputation revealed. Now, if you ever get saved, this is what's going to happen to you. I call your attention to look with me very carefully now at Mark chapter 15 and verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Here you see the manifestation of imputation revealed. Now, what in the world are we talking about at this hour? All right, notice. We find when Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas. Now, what do we have? In the manifestation of imputation, we see that sin is removed from the sinner. Now, when God saves you, he saves you from your sin. My radio friend, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. My hope is that he will, even at this hour. And the greatest thing that will take place is when our Lord takes away the guilt of your sin, he takes away the penalty of your sin, and then he breaks the power of sin. And one of these days, rest assured of one thing, we're going to be freed from the very presence of sin itself. Now, what happens to our sin? Our sin is removed from us when we get saved. It has been transferred to the Lord Jesus Christ because God made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, all of this is set forth in the story of Barabbas. Notice, so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now, what happened to Barabbas' penalty? Well, it was transferred to Christ. What happens to a sinner's penalty when God saves that sinner? The sinner's penalty has been transferred to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the sin of Barabbas was imputed to the Lord Jesus. In like manner, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 tells us that God hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My radio friend, I ask you a question again. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour? Listen, the greatest thing that can happen to you is for the Lord to save you. Now, hold your seat and listen in this last moment. The sin of Barabbas was paid for by Christ as his substitute. In like manner, the sin of you and me, when we're saved, has been paid for by Christ on our behalf. Now, listen carefully. Barabbas saw by the eye of the flesh, which we see by the eye of faith. Did Barabbas know that he was delivered? He did. Both were real to the individual. We know when God saves us, and we also know how wonderful it is that he does. Last of all, we find the penalty of death was removed from Barabbas, and the penalty of death is removed from us. Barabbas was pardoned by the governor. And radio friend, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are pardoned by the governor of the universe, Jehovah God himself. Oh, I wish I had more time to talk with you, but my time is gone. I urge you, seek the Lord if you don't know him, and may you find him now, is my desire. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here, saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life, and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.